Good morning. Today we're going to be talking about giving thanks to God. How many of you have thanked God for the blessings He's gave you this week? You know, many Christians don't thank God for what He's done for them. And all of us need to thank God for not only the blessings He gives us in this life, we need to thank Him for Christ going to the cross and dying for our sins.
Amen.
To make a way for us to get into heaven. Thanking God is one of the most important things we can do, especially at this time of Thanksgiving that we're about to participate in this week. Thanksgiving was first set up years ago by the settlers that came into this land, and they thanked God for the bountiful harvest that He had given them and for them coming to this land so they could get their freedom. Amen. That's what Thanksgiving Amen. Was all about. And this holiday was instituted by one of our presidents to commemorate a day that we could all thank God for what He's done.
Amen.
And I don't know how many people that are going to sit down to that scrumptious meal they have on Thanksgiving and remember to thank God for what He's done for them. And that is what this day is all about. Thanksgiving is to give God praise and thanks for what He has done. I worked as a part-time hospital chaplain many years ago before my life took a different direction. One of my earliest patients I prayed for was a young girl of about 14 years old who had been in a dirt bike accident. I met the young girl down in the physical therapy department. She was in a whirlpool bath. I had read her chart before. I went down to work with her and had learned that she, as a result of the accident, her leg had been amputated. She had it amputated right below the knee. I couldn't imagine what it must be like to be a 14-year-old girl that had a leg amputated. That is rough enough for my dad when he had his leg amputated because he had gangrene set up in a sore on his heel and he had his leg took off right below the knee also. But he was on up in age. He was close to 45 or 50 years old when he had that done, and he had an artificial leg that they made for him so he could walk. I can't imagine how this 14-year-old girl could go through life knowing her leg was missing. But I introduced myself and made some small talk. Through the course of our time together, I learned that she was a follower of Christ, although she really didn't say much about it. I was not prepared for her spirit, however, especially when she lifted her freshly amputated leg up above the bubbling water for me to see, and she said this, "Look at how much I have left." She wasn't worried about her leg being gone. She was worried about and giving God thanks for what she had left,
Amen.
Which was most of her leg. That is what we need to do. She excitedly told me that since the doctors were able to amputate her leg below the knee, it was much easier to fit an artificial limb on her leg. She wondered how long it would take to heal so that she could get back to doing what she normally had done. I heard most of what she was saying, but I wasn't really paying much attention to what she was saying. My mind was fixed back on her words, "Look how much I have left." She was not worried about the part that was gone. She praised God for how much she had left. that he hadn't taken her life. Her gratitude seemed really genuine. It wasn't denial or a Pollyanna mentality. She knew she was missing a good part of her leg, and she wouldn't have chosen that. But she was so very thankful for the bit of good news. Her spirit made my spirit soar that day, and I had two good legs. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we're going to read several verses here, and we're going to see what the Apostle Paul told the people of this church and how they needed to thank God for it. Hebrews chapter 12. If you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 24 and 28. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, so that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once again more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as those things were made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now notice verse 28. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence or thanksgiving and godly fear. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given me, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit this morning, that I may preach your word in such a way that it is understandable and that people will get a blessing out of it. We ask you, Lord, that you be with those that are sick today, those that are absent from our congregation. We ask you, Lord, that you'll heal their bodies and bring them back to us. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with those that are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, Lord, that need you so desperately. We pray, God, that you would comfort them and be with them as they struggle to make ends meet. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today for your son. We thank you for him going to the cross and dying for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Our gratitude, our thanksgiving, is a way in which we worship God. We can sing, and that is worship. We can say thank you, and that is worship. And that day in the hospital, the gratitude of that 14-year-old girl moved me. One of my goals in life is to have that same type of attitude as this little girl had. How inspiring to witness such an outpouring of gratitude in such a difficult circumstance that she was going through. The Bible tells us that we should give thanks to God for his many blessings, and we are to do that no matter where we find ourselves or what we're going through. Never forget that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
Even through our hard times, even through our struggles, God is there. Right. God is with us. God is always watching over us. And God is always there to care for us, even in our struggle times. The Bible says that God is a very present help in our times of trouble. Always remember and to thank God for his compassion, for his goodness, for his kindness, and for always taking care of us, even in our old age. Yeah. Even more so in our old age, because many people, when they grow old, they forget to praise God. They forget to thank God as much as they do when they're young. But let me tell you something, my friend. This girl, this 14-year-old girl in the hospital, gives us an example of what we should do. Though she had half a leg, she still praised God. Though she was going through a difficult circumstance, she still praised God. Even though she was going through this hard times, she still praised God. This Thanksgiving, let us consider four specific things the Bible says we should thank God for. Number one, thank God for His love and mercy. Thank God for His love and mercy. His love is what sent Christ to the cross. His love is what had Him hang there between heaven and earth. His love, His mercy, was bestowed upon us when Christ gave His life on the cross. When I think of the many ways in which I've rejected God in my life, I'm amazed that He continues to love me and wants me to be in a relationship with Him. Of course, there is the life I led before coming to Christ, and He was willing to forgive me and adopt me as a child when I gave my life to Jesus. All of us, there was a time when we were lost. God showed His love and mercy to you by sending that Holy Spirit, that He could convict you, that He could draw you unto Himself, and that He could give you an opportunity to be saved. It was God's love and mercy that did that. But even after I had come into relationship with Christ, I recognized that the many of my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions have been displeasing to Him. Yet He still offers me His welcoming embrace. Max Lucado said this: "There are many reasons God saves us: to bring glory to Himself, to appease His justice, and to demonstrate His sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons God saves you is because He is fond of you. He likes having you around. He thinks you are the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends flowers to you every spring and sunrise to you every morning. Yeah. Whenever you want to talk, He listens. He can live anywhere in the universe, but think about this: He chose to live in your heart. Amen. God chose to live right here in your heart. He could have lived anywhere else. He is omnipresent. He lives everywhere else, but He chose to live right here in your heart. He chose to be close to you. He chose to be right in your heart. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." The phrase "rich in mercy" is a powerful one. God is rich in every possible way. He owns everything. And yet, for our standpoint, the most valuable thing that God has to offer us is His mercy. He gives us mercy when He saves us. He gives us mercy when He protects us. He gives us mercy when He watches over us. God's great love brought Jesus Christ into this world, sent Him to the cross as He died on the cross. God loved us so much that He made us alive together with Christ. and set us in heavenly places. That mercy is a result of another great trait of God's, His love. Because God loves us, He offers us His mercy. Every single one of us have rejected God in so many ways, yet God still offers to forgive us and bring us into His family. Our salvation is 100% dependent on this. We are saved by His grace. Thank God today for His love and mercy. Amen. We should thank God always for His love and mercy, that He cared enough to send His Son to die for us, that He cared enough to send the Holy Spirit into this world to convict us, those that are lost. He is always convicting us. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The Holy Spirit is working in the lives of the lost. He's working in the lives of those people that reject Him. He was working in the lives of all the people on this planet because He wants everyone to be saved. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right. God wants all of us to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. His love and mercy is available to all who will accept it. Secondly, thank God for His provision. Did you have breakfast this morning? Thank God for it. Did you put clothes on before you left your house? Thank God for it. When you're able to drive here in a car or get a ride from somebody else, thank God for it. Amen. Do you have a job or some other means of receiving an income? Thank God for it. Amen. Everything that we have, our own, has been given to us by God. The Bible says that God gives us power to gain wealth. Yeah. Do you realize we could not sustain without God's power? We cannot sustain our life without God's wisdom. We cannot sustain our life without God's mercy. God cares so much for us that He gives us the power to gain wealth. Mm-hmm. He gives us the power to make a living. He gives us the power to earn money to feed our families. He gives us the power to work so we can pay our bills and furnish the electricity for our homes. I feel that it is necessary to stress that God supplies all of our needs, not our wants. Amen. But most of you already understand that. If God gave us everything we wanted, many of us would end up regretting it. God knows our needs, and we need to trust Him to supply our needs. Years ago, David Phillips and his wife Lynn had a talk about the calling they felt God was steering in them. As they discussed what they were most passionate about, they agreed that bringing relief to suffering children and reaching the next generation with the gospel were at the top of the list. They thought of starting a relief agency, which was considered. But Dave's response was, "But that will mean I have to talk in front of people." By nature, Dave is very quiet, behind-the-scenes man. That's the way I was when God called me to preach. I gave Him every excuse I could give Him. I told Him I can't talk in front of people. I'm very shy. I don't like to be in front of people. I don't like to be around people. How can you call me to preach when I am not capable of preaching? But God spoke into my heart. When I was knelt, accepting the call to the ministry, and He said this to me. He said, "It's not about what you can do. It's about what I can do through you." Amen. That is what I have to rely on, that God works in my life. Listen, after much prayer, Dave set aside his fears, and he and Lynn started Children's hunger fund out of their garage. 6 weeks after CHF was launched in January of 1992, he received a phone call from the director of a cancer treatment center in Honduras, asking if there was any way he could obtain a certain drug for 7 children who would die without it. Dave wrote down the name of the drug and told the director that he had no idea how to get this type of drug. Then he prayed over the phone and asked God to provide. As Dave hung up the phone, before he even let go of the receiver, the phone rang again. It was a pharmaceutical company in New Jersey asking Dave if he would have any use for 48,000 vials of that exact same drug. Not only did they offer him $8 million worth of this drug, but they told him they would airlift it to any place in the world. Dave would later learn that the company was one of the only two that manufactured this particular drug in the United States. Within 48 hours, Dave had the drug sent to the treatment center in Honduras and to 20 other locations as well. It was then he believed that God was at work, validating his call to this particular ministry. Year after year, God continually provides supernaturally for their needs. Today, they had distributed more than $950 million in food and other relief to more than 10 million kids in 70 countries and 32 states. Children's Hunger Fund has distributed more than 150 million pounds of food and 110 million toys. If we had time, we could share one story after another of how God has met the needs of His people. This is not an unusual thing. It is the norm. We need to give God thanks for this today. Amen. God provides when we can't see a way. God provides when we're at our lowest point. God provides when we can't see the way to make it. God provides when we're at our lowest point financially. God provides when we're at our lowest point spiritually. God provides everything we need. This person, this Dave and Lynn, wanted to feed children. They had a calling in their life wanting to feed children, but they didn't see a way it would happen. But God provided. This is how God works. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God that He always provides for our needs. Thank God that He always provides for everything we need. Year after year, God provides. Think about that. Year after year, God is always providing for our needs. Year after year, He always meets our needs. Amen. Year after year, He's always providing for everything we need, not everything we want. Listen, if we all got everything we wanted, we'd find ourselves in trouble. Right. We'd find us asking for things we don't really need. That's why the Bible promises, "My God shall supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus." Amen. He doesn't say that He'll give you all your wants. Right. He says He'll give you all your needs. He'll provide your needs. He'll provide your food. He'll provide your clothing. He'll provide those basic needs. Many times we want a lot more. God's never promised us a whole lot. He promised us this: food and clothing. Amen. Food and clothing. But what has God given all of us? God's given us a house to live in. He's given us a car to drive. He's given us clothes to wear. He's given us food to eat. He's given us air to breathe. He's given us a voice to speak with. He's given us ears to hear with. He's given us a nose to smell with. Thank God for His provision. Thank God that He has given all of these things. Thank God this Thanksgiving for everything He's given us. Thirdly, thank God for His protection. A corporate consultant from Sweden asked 65 people from around the world, "What's your greatest fear in life?" As you might expect, people mentioned the fear of dying alone or of losing their job was the number one thing they were fearful of. But of these 65 people, at least 14, more than one in every five, expressed a different fear. Living a life without purpose or meaning, listening to their own words. This is what they said. "My biggest fear is never taking a risk in an effort to find my true calling." Anthony said that from New York. "My greatest fear is to go through life living small but not realizing it until it's too late." Rebecca said that from Stuttgart, Germany. "My greatest fear would be missing out on my purpose here in life. I know I have a purpose that I am not yet serving." Danielle said that from Sacramento, California. "To go through life without leaving a positive mark." Luciana said that from Sintra, Portugal. "My greatest fear is regretting all that I didn't do as I lay in the hospital bed as an elderly man." Ralph said that from North Brunswick. While we could list fears of all kinds of things, someone hiding under the bed, driving in traffic, facing an unhappy boss, I think the corporate consultant is onto something. Our greatest fear, if we really think about it, is living a life with no real purpose. The good news is God is taking care of that for us. God has given a purpose to every one of us. God has given a purpose to every one of us. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a singer. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. But we're all a witness for Christ. Amen. We can all witness for Christ. That is the purpose that we find for every Christian, is to witness and tell people about Jesus. Listen, Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" When we consider the psalmist's words, we have to ask ourselves a similar question. If I had God at my side, what do I have to be afraid of? What is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me? Even if someone were to take my life, I would be with God in eternity. Listen, my friend, you have nothing to fear when you serve God. They may take your life, but you have a better place waiting for you.
Amen.
They may take your voice, but you will have your hands to worship God with. They may take your hearing, but you'll have the voice to speak with. They may take everything you have, but they cannot take your relationship with God away from you.
Amen.
That relationship is secure by the Holy Spirit. It's secure by God. It's secure by Christ. That relationship you have with God and this protection that He gives you is secure in the heavenly realms right now. You can never lose your salvation. Listen. Fourthly, thank God for His guidance. Thank God for His guidance. Where would we be if God didn't give us guidance? I'll tell you where we'd be. Lost. Walking carelessly. Jesus said, "Walk while you have the light, because you know not where you go when you have no light."
Amen.
Listen, we all need to thank God for His guidance. Many people pray to God and ask to hear Him. They're wanting to hear an audible voice, But God has given us a very clear roadmap for living in His Word. The 66 books of the Bible offer us guidance on almost every conceivable issue that we will be dealing with in life. Psalms 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. The Holy Bible gives us guidance. It gives us guidance and direction in everything we do. If the word doesn't do it, listen, the Holy Spirit will.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, remember that phrase I quoted earlier, the grace of God that bringeth salvation will appear as appeared unto all men, that's found in the book of Titus. But it goes on to say, teaching us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen.
God gives us guidance through the Holy Spirit. He directs our path. He gives us all the guidance we'll need in life. And if you read your Bible and you study your Bible, it will give you guidance. The Bible is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, because it shows us the way we should go. It is a guide for our lives and is essential for our spiritual growth. There are many ways to study the Bible. You can read it alone or in a group. You can listen to audio recordings of it, or you can watch videos about it. There are also many different resources available to help you understand it better. Some people like to study the Bible chronologically, while others prefer to study specific topics. Whichever method you choose, make sure that you're consistent in your studies and that you set aside enough time each day to really focus on what you're reading. The Bible is important because it is God's word to us. It is God's word that He gave to us through the apostles and through those that lived long ago. He gave us this word. Holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words down. And this is God's instruction book on how to live, how to serve Him, how to please Him. God has given us everything we need in this Word of God. The Bible is God's Word to us. In it we can find guidance for our own lives and answers to our every question. It is also a source of comfort and hope in times of trouble. Additionally, studying the Bible can help us grow closer to God and deepen our faith. When we take time to understand what God has said, we are better able to apply His truth to our lives and make choices that honor Him. Elias Bonadette, early American lawyer and statesman, said this, Were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to be wise and ignorant. Listen, my friend, the ignorant people become wise when they read the Bible. The lost people become wise when they read the Bible and follow what it teaches. We need to understand that God does not want us to live in the dark. He wants us to live in the light.
Amen.
God wants us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior so that we might have the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us guidance and to show us the correct way to live. Listen, the Bible says we make our plans, but God directs our paths. We make our plans, but God directs our paths. Thank God today that He guides you. Thank God today that He protects you. Thank God today that all of these things we talked about come to fruition. God is a God that cares for us. Listen, if you're to ask me what the most important, interesting history book is, I should still urge you to look at the Bible. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge. God is more than willing to guide us. All we have to do is open up His book and allow Him to speak to us. We thank God for that privilege today. Thank God for the guidance He's given you. Thank God for the mercy He's given you. Thank God for the provisions He's given you. Thank God for everything you have in life.
Amen.
Too many of us don't thank God enough. Too many of us don't thank God before we eat a meal. Too many of us don't thank God before we lay our head down on the pillow at night. Too many of us forget to thank God. Listen, God provides everything you have. Your home, your furniture, your food, everything that you've got. Remember, God has provided it. God has given you everything. In conclusion, there are just four of the many reasons we should give thanks to God this Thanksgiving and every day. When we take the time to express our gratitude to Him, we are reminded of all the ways He has blessed us. And this is a cause for celebration. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this year, never forget that the one we are most thankful for is God Himself. Because God provided for us. God provides everything we need. God provided salvation for us by sending His Son to die on the cross. God provided our food for us by giving us the bread of life. God provided our vision by giving us the light to see. Listen, my friend, God gave you everything you have in life. So don't forget this Thanksgiving to thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His provisions. Thank Him for the guidance He gives you. Thank Him for everything this Thanksgiving. And don't forget to thank Him for His Son who died on the cross to save you from your sins. That's the most important thing we need to think about today. He loved us enough. God commended His love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. While we were yet sinners, God sent His Son to die for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring Your word this morning. We pray, the Lord, that we have explained it in a way that's understandable and that people will grow from it. We thank You, Lord, for everything You've done for us in this life. We thank You for the food. We thank You for the air we breathe. And we thank You for the water that You've provided for us in the ground that's pumped up by wells that we drink. We thank You, Lord, for providing the gas we drive in our cars. We thank You, Lord, for providing the oil that it takes to run our engines. We thank You, Lord, for the provision of the food that You provided for us that we may nourish our bodies. We thank You, Lord, for everything, especially for Jesus, Amen. You sending Him to save us from our sins and death and the wrath of God. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You, Lord, for everything that You do. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.